Good morning, everyone. You're very welcome in the Lord's house. I'd like you to turn with me now to the opening hymn. It's hymn number 388. Hymn number 388 to commence our service today. The words of this hymn are beautiful. Loved with everlasting love, led by grace, that love to know. Number 388.
Oh,
We're going to bow together now in prayer, so let us seek the Lord's face together. Heavenly Father, we come to Thee in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank Thee for the words that we have been singing in praise to Thee, in thanksgiving to Thee, words of adoration and appreciation. How glad we are that those who are saved, redeemed in the blood of the Lamb, they can say, I am His and He is mine. And it's all because we have been loved with an everlasting love. I thank Thee today that when Christ Jesus left the splendors of heaven and came down to this sin-cursed earth, He did so because He loved us. I thank Thee when He walked and talked amongst men and even had to endure their mocking and had to endure their contempt and their nastiness and their vileness. He did so because He loved us. And when He went to the cross of Calvary and suffered the wrath of man, and even more so the wrath of Almighty God, His eternal Father, He suffered because He loved us. And He died because He loved us. And He's coming back again because He loves us. Gracious Father, I pray that if there's anyone in this meeting who would even doubt that love, if the devil's getting in and the devil's whispering lies in their ear and causing them to doubt in any way, reassure them today that God is love. He loved us, Christ loved us, and gave Himself for us, paid the price for all of our sin to redeem us from the curse of the law. And loving Father, I ask Thee today that Thou wilt draw near to us and speak to us, not just to those who might be doubting, those who might be discouraged, those who could even be depressed, downcast, those whose thoughts are in turmoil, those whose hearts and minds are worried and fearful. How we need the Lord. The Saviour who told the disciples, fear not, we need the Saviour as well. We need Christ today. Heavenly Father, may the Holy Spirit of God reveal to us the things of God. May He come down and speak through this word. I pray for a word from God, a word of teaching, a word that will build us up in our most holy faith, a word that will make us into the men and the women God wants us to be. Deliver us, Lord, from thinking that we've done enough. Help us, Lord, to keep giving more to Thee. We realize we're called to sanctification. We're called to live a holy life. We're called to walk in newness of life. We're called to let our light shine. We're called to have a testimony with our unsaved loved ones, family members, friends, neighbours. This is the calling of God. And we're called to reach others with the gospel. Father in heaven, even through the study today, build us up in our most holy faith that we might be enabled to better serve the Lord. Bless the congregation here in Ballygowan. There are folk in this church who are going through difficult times. Folk who are suffering because of bereavement. Folk for whom sickness has come. These things all bring fretting and fears. Lord, may it be Thy presence that makes a feast and builds up Thy people. Come and help us today. Bless the free church too. We thank Thee, Lord, that this congregation in Ballygowan is part of the whole church. Many congregations, one church in the free church. So we pray, bless in every congregation. We pray that souls will be saved today. Backsliders restored and believers built up. Not just in Ballygowan, but right across this land. Right across the world, Lord. How we need Thee. The free church needs Thee to come and revive us again. Lord, the zeal would be abating. But God can breathe the breath of life into us once more. He can make these dry bones live. God can do that. And that's what we need to happen, Lord. It's beyond us. It's not beyond Thee. With God, nothing shall be impossible. So come today. Come today, we pray. In the Saviour's great and glorious name. Amen. Amen. Our second hymn is number 203. It's a hymn that would very often be sung at the gospel meeting. I know that. I was sinking deep in sin. But the reason we've chosen it is because the chorus sounds out that great theme of the love of the Lord Jesus Christ, that love that lifts us. And I felt I'd like to sing this hymn this morning, even though it's more often sung at the evening service. But let's sing it together and rejoice in the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. 203. Folks, I'd like to give every one of you a very, very warm word of welcome to the meeting today. We thank you for coming in the Saviour's great name. I have some announcements to make to you this morning. Let me just commence by saying the prayer meeting will be at 6:30 tonight and the gospel service at 7 I'll be back to preach the Word of God this evening. And this evening we'll also be having some special singing from Nessie, Susan and Joe. So please come along to the gospel meeting to hear this special singing and hear the Word of the Lord. There'll be a retiring offering taken up today at both services for the work of the Missionary Council and the Books and Bibles for Africa. They have to be brought in by this Friday. That's for the Missionary Council. Please take care of that. And then on Monday at 10:30 in the morning, Little Sunbeams, parents and toddlers meeting in the church hall. And Monday at 6:45, Awana bi-weekly. On Wednesday night at 8, the prayer meeting and Bible study. I should be here on Wednesday night to conduct that service. Next Sunday at 10 o'clock, the Sunday school. 11 o'clock, the prayer meeting. 11:30 a.m., family worship. The preacher next Sunday will be the Reverend David Priestley. And there will be communion after the morning meeting next week. Prayer meeting at 6:30 and the gospel service at 7. Once again, Reverend Priestley will be here to preach. As far as the youth outreach is concerned, Heather has asked to pass on her thanks to all the parents and helpers at the youth reach this year. The young people certainly enjoyed themselves at their outing on Friday night, and they look forward to being back again in the autumn. So a thanks from the leaders for all who have attended. Next Saturday morning at 11 o'clock, there is the Free Presbyterian Church Government Morals and Presbytery protest outside the City Hall in Belfast, 11 a.m. It'll take form of a service. Women and children are invited to attend, and if you can support the protest against the draconian abortion laws in this land, then please remember it next Saturday morning, 11 sharp, at the City Hall. These are all of the announcements, and I trust you'll continue to pray for the work of God here in the church in Ballygowan. The offering hymn is number 5. Please turn to hymn number 5. It's on page 176. Praise Him, praise Him, Jesus, our blessed Redeemer. And we'll remain seated while the offering is taken up for the Lord's work. Hymn number 5.
Thank you.
The scripture reading is found today in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Please turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. It's quite a short chapter, just 13 verses, and we will read from verse 1 to the end. 1 Corinthians 13. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or as a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy, and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains, and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long, and is kind. Charity envieth not, charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. Now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity. Amen. May the Lord be pleased to bless to all of our hearts the public reading of his holy and precious word. We're going to bow in prayer. Father in heaven, I thank thee today that we have the scriptures to guide us and direct us. God's rule of faith and practice. I thank thee that it's all in the Bible. What we need is in God's book. The truth is there. Christ is there. Forgiveness, holiness, deliverance from hell, entrance into heaven, it's all there. Lord, there's so much in the word. So today, as we study it, I pray that thou wilt take this sermon and make it applicable to every heart in this gathering. We pray in the Saviour's great and glorious name. Amen. Amen. We come today to study with you the subject of Christian charity or Christian love. The word for love or charity, as found in this chapter of God's precious word, is agape, a very strong word for Christian love, a very significant word. It's a word that speaks of being willing to sacrifice anything and everything for the one that you love. And Christian charity, Christian love, is about being willing to sacrifice anything for the Lord, and anything for other people, even your enemies, anything to achieve the advancement of the gospel through Christian charity. And you know, without this Christian charity, without this love, according to those first three verses, we are nothing. And it profits us nothing. Nothing. So, I can say to you today, if you meet someone who thinks he's quite a theologian, you know, the sort of person, the way he talks, always talking about what he knows and the deep things, and he's a great theologian, he knows it all and others know nothing. Even if he's a great theologian but he hasn't got love, God says he's nothing. That's what God says. Those who think that they are superior because they attend all the meetings in the church, if they do that, but they have not charity, they're nothing. Those who think that they are better than other believers because they pray in the prayer meeting, if they do that and they have not charity, the Bible says they are nothing. Maybe there are those who feel especially blessed because they're able to bring a wee word from the scriptures. Preach a bit. If they can do that, but they haven't got charity, God says they're nothing. Maybe there are those who feel blessed because they've got a bit more money than somebody else. Oh, look at me, I've been blessed. I've got this, that, and the other. Well, if they don't have charity, God says they've got nothing. Maybe there are those who feel that they're more powerful than others. That makes them special. If they don't have charity, they're nothing. This world that we live in doesn't elevate Christian charity. No, the world elevates the intellectual people and the influential people. They're great. It's not what God says. Listen to the scriptures, 1 Corinthians 1. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and the base things of the world, the things which are despised, hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. You know, folks, the humble, poor, loving Christian is far greater in the eyes of the Lord than the proud, prosperous, unloving Christian. The greatest person to ever walk upon the face of the earth was, of course, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He wasn't born into a rich family. He didn't grow up in a grand house. He wasn't educated in a place of academic excellence. He didn't secure a lucrative job. He wasn't the toast of high society. But he was great. He was great. For many reasons, of course. And one of them is the fact that he was full of love for the people that he came to save. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And the love of Christ was the greatest love that the world has ever seen, because he came and he suffered and bled and died on the cross to save us from our sin. And you know, we need to be more like the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to be willing to make a sacrifice of ourselves to the Lord and for other people. We need to have Christian love. We need to have Christian charity in our lives. And today, what I'd like to do with you is examine what I've called the confirmation of charity. What is it that confirms that you and I, if we name the name of Christ and we say we're saved and we say we're Christians, what is it that confirms that we have Christian charity? What is it that confirms that we have the grace of God in our lives? Now, we should want to know that we have the grace of God in our lives. It's only by the grace of God we'll be saved. We need to know for sure we've got the grace of God in our hearts and lives. What is it then that proves that we are loving? That confirms that we've got charity? What is it that God says is absolutely essential? 3 points I want to leave with you today. And they will confirm your standing before God. And they will confirm if you have Christian charity. And they will also cause you to think, I hope, if you do not have Christian charity in your life. First of all, let me talk to you about the first thing that confirms that we have Christian charity. It is this, that we are gracious Christians. Gracious Christians. Where do I get that from? Look at verse 4. Charity does what? Is what? Is manifested in what way? Charity suffereth long and is kind. There's the gracious Christian. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Now, the first part there, suffereth long. What does that mean? Well, actually, it just means to be patient. Charity suffers long. Charity is patient with other people. To properly grasp the force of these words, you and I need to remember that in the church in Corinth, there were contentions, strifes, and jealousies. The people were not always patient. They did not suffer long. How do we know that? Just you listen to some of the things that God says about the church in Corinth. 1 Corinthians 3 and 3. Does he say, oh, you're a good church, you're spiritual? No. For ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? Oh, they were carnal because there was strife and envy and division in the church. They weren't suffering long with each other. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 11, for it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. Once again, Paul says there's strife, there's contention in the church. What about 1 Corinthians 11, 18? For first of all, when ye come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you. Paul stating this fact over and over again. One more example. 2 Corinthians 12, 20. Listen to this. For I fear lest when I come, I shall not find you such as I would. In other words, he says, when I come to the church in Corinth, I'm afraid that I'll not find that you're as spiritual as you should be. I'm afraid I'm going to find this out. What does Paul go on to say? And that I shall be found unto you as ye would not, lest there be debates, envyings, wraths, strifes, backbitings, whisperings, swellings, tumults. Oh dear. Paul says, as I hear about the church in Corinth and I hear about what's going on, I hear that there are debates and envyings and wraths and strifes. Well, that's not suffering long. Sure it's not. That's not being very patient. That's debating. Oh, I'm right and you're wrong. Who do you think you are? I know what I'm talking about. Envyings, not happy to see others getting on well and jealous of them. Wraths and strifes, it's not coming to physical blows, but there are verbal blows here. There's not much charity, sure there's not. When people get on again, there's no charity. If that was happening in the world or in the workplace, striving and envying and all sorts of nonsense, dear, dear, madhouse. How do you get them to work together? But Paul's saying some of this stuff's going on in the church. Backbiting, whispering, swelling, tumults. They're not demonstrating love towards one another. They're not demonstrating charity. So what's Paul doing in writing this 1 Corinthians chapter 13? He is seeking by the grace of God to correct those evils. To put right that which is wrong, to help them to see where they're going astray and get it right before God. He wants them to practice love, and then things will be different in the church. That's why he's writing this letter. If they were to suffer long, become more patient, more loving, things would improve dramatically. They would be slow to anger. They would exercise forbearance. They would not fly off the handle with other Christians. They would not be so hasty with their tongues. They would not get all worked up. They would not be so irritable. And even if they were oppressed and provoked or injured, they would still suffer long, because Paul says charity suffers long. Charity doesn't get on like what I've just described. Getting angry quick and trying to get your own way and not being patient. Charity doesn't do that. When I think of Christ, I think of the way that he suffered long. Remember the accusers of the one taken in adultery? They come before the Lord and they seek answers from him. They're out to tempt him and try to make little of God's son. Does the Saviour rise to the bait? Does he say, I'll tell you what I think of you. You boys coming accusing this woman. Sure, I know what you get up to. Who do you think you are? Does he respond in that way? No. He stoops down and he writes in the sand. He suffers long. He's patient. He doesn't say a word. And then he quietly puts out the challenge. Well, let he that is without sin among you cast the first stone. That's the answer. But he suffers long. As well as suffering long, the gracious Christian is kind. It says that there. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Kind. You know, the word used here denotes being good-natured, gentle, tender, and affectionate. Because the Lord is benevolent. This is a word that wishes well to everyone. There's no harshness with people who are kind. Tyndale renders this word is courteous. I think that's an interesting way to translate it. It's courteous. It's kind. The idea here is that no matter how the person is provoked, they'll keep a gentle and a mild temperament. Because charity is kind. We'll not be harsh and severe and unkind and nasty. Charity is kind. A man who truly loves another will be kind to him, desiring that that man would enjoy the goodness of God. He'll not be severe. You know, anybody can be severe, but it takes a good gracious Christian to be kind. To be kind. We read in Ephesians 4 verse 32, and be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. And loving Christians should obey this command. It's a command from the Lord. Be kind and tender hearted and forgiving. And why will we want to be like that? Because we'll remember that's how God treated us. God was kind, tender-hearted, forgiving when he forgave us our sins. He didn't have to do it, but he loved us. He forgave us. And that's how we should treat others as well. Be ye kind one to another. I was actually reading what Warren Wiersbe had to say about this verse, and I thought it was very interesting. I'll just read you, it's only a couple of lines, but listen to his words. Love rises above petty things and is generous in the way it treats others. It is easy to love when people are lovable. How difficult it is to love when they injure or attack us in one way or another. Think of Christ's patience with Peter. After the times Peter sinned against him, and you have some idea of what this means. Wiersbe finishes off, love not only patiently bears with wrongs, but it positively acts in deeds of kindness. What a challenge for all of us. John Wesley once said, do all the good you can, by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, at all the times you can, to all the people you can, as long as ever you can. Do good, because charity suffers long and is kind. Are we kind? Are we patient? Are we loving? Do we show that love? You've all heard the story of the wee boy in Chicago, and he was going to one of Moody's Sunday schools, and his parents moved house, and he decided, this wee boy, that he would still continue to go to the original Sunday school. It meant walking a few miles extra. And somebody said to him, why don't you go to a Sunday school closer to where you now live? And the wee boy is reported to have said something along the lines, because they love a fella over there. The wee boy wanted to go to the Sunday school where he knew he was loved by the teachers. Isn't that wonderful? Wouldn't it be good if people could save all of our churches? I want to go there because they love a fella over there. Christian love, Christian charity. The gracious Christian suffers long and is kind. No matter what's done, doesn't get angry, and in every situation seeks to demonstrate the love and kindness of Christ. Charity suffereth long and is kind. That's the gracious Christian. Let's all be gracious Christians. Second thing is this. Charity is confirmed whenever you've got a good Christian. A good Christian. I take that from verse 6 where it says, charity rejoiceth in the truth. This is a good person who rejoices in the truth. The word truth here obviously stands opposed to iniquity. And it actually means virtue, piety, or goodness. Rejoiceth in the truth, in virtue. Rejoices in good things. Rejoices in truth. Charity never rejoices in vices. Charity rejoices in virtues. You know the sort of person who would come to you and say, did you hear about such and such? And it's always bad news. Or somebody has fallen into sin, or somebody's wayward. There are people who come and they love to talk about that. That's the exact opposite of what God's talking about here. God says people should not rejoice in things like that. They should rejoice in the truth, in the good things, the virtuous things. Is that us? Do we rejoice to hear the good news? And do we take the view, I don't need to hear the bad news. I don't need to hear that stuff. Are you the sort of person who rejoices when good is done, when truth is defended and truth is advanced? That's what God's talking about here. Rejoice in the truth. Rejoice when other people have a good reputation and have earned a good reputation by living a godly life. You see, a good charitable Christian is one who is happy to see others going on with God. Even if maybe your family isn't going on with God. Maybe they've gone astray in the world. But a charitable Christian will rejoice when somebody else's are going on with God. You know, sometimes people can be jealous of other Christians. Look at them. Theirs going on with God and mine the way they are. We should never be like that. We should be thankful to the Lord for all who are going on with God and pray for those who are not. And love them. Reach out to them. That's what we should be doing. A charitable, good Christian is one who is happy when the truth of God's word is sounded forth. When it's blessed by the Holy Spirit and produces fruit in the lives of others. They love to see people getting saved. They love to see the work of God advanced. They love to see good things happening. They love it when Christians receive a call to the ministry, the mission field. They love to see God's work prosper, other people prosper. That's rejoicing in the truth, in good things. Tell me, are you rejoicing in Christ today? The reason I ask that to you is because he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. We all know that verse, right? Now, charity rejoices in the truth. Christ is the truth. Are you rejoicing in him? Or maybe you're cold of heart today and you're no longer rejoicing. Have you backslidden? Are you no longer rejoicing in the truth? Not rejoicing in your Saviour? You think more about worldly things than him? Has this happened? You're more concerned about what you earn, the type of house you live in, the property you own, the holidays you go on, the hobbies you enjoy, the cars you drive. You're rejoicing in those things, I'm asking. But surely, as a good Christian, you should be rejoicing in the truth, in Christ. Do you think about him? Do you read your Bible? Or did you have to make sure it was dusted down before you carried it to church this morning? Maybe you don't even open your Bible when it's being read in church. Maybe when the minister's reading from it, you don't follow the reading. What's wrong? You're not rejoicing in the truth anymore. Don't let your heart grow cold. Because you see, when you walk with Christ, there is actually rejoicing to be enjoyed. You're missing out on that. If you've got away from God today, you're not able to rejoice. Isn't that what we all want in life, to be able to rejoice? Well, you can rejoice in the truth in Christ. But of course, if you don't know him as Saviour, you can't rejoice in him. If you're not saved, this is probably just going all over your head. We want you to come to Christ that you can rejoice in him. Real love is rejoicing in the truth. I've noted with you the gracious Christian and the good Christian. Finally, the generous Christian. Look at verse 7. Because charity beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, and endureth all things. Why do I call this the generous Christian? Well, let's look at it. Beareth all things. The word for beareth here means to cover, so as to hide or conceal or not make known. That's what it means. To bear all things is to cover things. It means that love is disposed to hide or conceal the faults of others. You don't want to expose them. You'd rather hide them. Keep a lid on them. Don't broadcast them. Don't give publicity to them. Benevolence to the individual or to the public requires that these faults be concealed. As far as possible, you don't conceal that which is wicked and wrong or illegal. Of course you don't. But that's not what the Lord's talking about here. He's saying, cover things that don't need to be exposed. Be a generous Christian. Have a generous spirit towards other Christians. Don't be trying to expose their faults. Say nothing. It's not up to you to expose somebody else's faults. The generous Christian beareth all things, and as well as that, believeth all things. Now, this does not mean that you naively believe everything you're told. You know, that's a pack of lies. So-and-so is so naive, they believe all things. That's not what it's talking about. Absolutely not. It means that we should put the best construction on the conduct of others. That's what it means. We believe all things. We're not going to go out and say, well, they did that, and here's why. I know why. There's ulterior motives. I know what they're playing at. There are people who get on like that. Sad individuals, really. We're not to be like that. Love produces a believing of all things because it rejoices in the happiness and virtue of others. Don't always be thinking the worst of people. That's what it means. Don't be thinking the worst of everyone. And as well as that, hopeth all things. The generous Christian, loving Christian is like this. That means that they'll believe everything until it's made clear to them that it's not right. Not always looking for the dark side in people. And they'll be fair in their judgment of all matters because they're loving. They're not nasty. They're not harsh. And that they'll hope that that's the way of it until it's proven otherwise. There's a lot of love in that verse 7, love towards other people. And finally, endureth all things. In other words, this charity bears up under all sorts of pressure. It'll help us to get through, no matter what happens. Tell me something. Do you have the love of Christ in your heart? And if you do, it will be manifested in your life. You'll suffer all things and you'll be kind. What a challenge. You'll be a good Christian. tender-hearted, like Christ. We all need to be more like him and demonstrate this love. May the Lord be pleased to bless his precious word to all of our hearts today, for Christ's sake. Amen. We're going to bow together in prayer. Let's seek the Lord's face. Father in heaven, I do thank thee today for the precious word of God. It is so challenging, but it must be challenging. Otherwise, we get into a rut. We don't want to get into a rut, Lord. We want to walk with God. So please help us to walk with thee. Help us, Lord, to love thee and to love others, to love that which is good and demonstrate it in the way we live. So gracious Father, may thy grace, thy mercy, and thy peace be our abiding portion now and forevermore. Amen. Amen. Folks, don't be going anywhere just for a wee minute, please. I'd like to speak to you.